News.
Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jeffersonians! It's that time again!
It is!
It's time for the Jefferson State of Mind!
It is! Another Sunday already!
Already is the truth! It's just like, blink!
Yeah.
It's Sunday again.
I know, it just keeps happening.
You know, it's so good that so much happens in the world that we can talk about.
They certainly give us plenty of ammunition to keep going and going, don't they?
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder, at what point do people just kind of start to go, okay, enough?
You know? I think a lot of people are there.
I really do.
I mean, when you look around, a lot of people go, yeah, I've just kind of checked out of it because it's all crap anyway.
Yeah, but see, you can't check out of it.
You got to keep one toe in. It, yeah.
If you could just check out of it, you really haven't had enough, because when you've had enough, you'll actually get up and do something about it.
Very true.
You know, I'm so tired of hearing the people going, oh, well, what can I do about it?
What do you think you can do? Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
It is going to be a very busy time here for the state of Jefferson. But before we get going, I want to give a belated happy birthday to a very special lady in the state of Jefferson. And that's Sally Raposa, who is somewhere enjoying herself. How dare she?
You mean she got vacation days?
She did. She got vacation days. But I just wanted to give a happy birthday out to Sally Raposa.
Now you have to sing it.
No.
No. Come on, Bear.
I won't do that. Come to on.
People. You think we'll lose listeners over that?
Yeah, probably. Over my singing? Definitely. No. But, you know, for people that aren't aware how much Sally does to keep the whole state of Jefferson together. She's this subtle little hummingbird behind the scenes.
If you have a Jefferson brochure, she folded it.
Yeah.
And her father.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a little sweatshop in their house.
They helped design it. If you're aware of something going on in the state of Jefferson, Sally probably sent it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's been amazing. Her and Terry both.
Yeah.
But, just wanted to give a special happy birthday out to Sal.
Yeah.
So, well, now that business is taken care of, on to the fun stuff.
Wait a minute, isn't it the other way around?
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. I get confused anymore.
We've been in this for too long. We don't know the difference.
Yeah, just kind of... So.
Or is that just because it's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Could be a combination. I think it's more just mental fatigue from the marathon.
And it's not near over.
Now that we're at the end of July, you know, we're kind of hitting the kick to the finish because we want legislation February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So the counties that are kind of...
Have we announced that before?
Yeah, it's been known.
Has it been
in
mentioned
some,
or has it actually
some
been
incidents.
Announced?
I don't know that it's really been announced publicly, but we are looking for our legislation February of next year to start the ball rolling. And so there's a lot of these counties that are kind of in the kick process of the marathon. It's, you know, even though it's been knocked down, drag out, you're dead tired at the end of the race. It's time to pick up speed. So,
and it appears that we have no audio in the chat room this morning. So if you are in the chat room, we are getting that fixed right now.
Yeah, we will have the audio stream up. Well, then maybe we'll just kind of float it for a couple minutes here until we get our audio up so everybody in the chat room can hear. So, So how things been going? Good? Great?
Good.
Yeah?
The hubby is back on the employment line.
Oh.
Here in about a week or so, once all the stuff gets...
Yeah, handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how that goes. All the paperwork and everything else.
Yeah, it's amazing all the police departments that are screaming for officers, how hard it is for them to actually get an officer because of all the standards and the different things that are going on. You know, just kind of another thing that you can kind of go, are they even really thinking this through before they put it through? You know, the ever popular vaccine bill. I've been watching that very, very closely. Well, now they're talking about adults are going to be required to go in and get their vaccines or face jail time.
Okay, so wait, okay. Let's think about this logically. You didn't get the vaccine, so you could be carrying a, I'm going to doing huge air quotes here, deadly disease. You know, the measles kills so many people in America every year. So they're going to put you in jail where you're closely confined with other people where you can spread the disease much quicker.
Yes. Brilliant.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like California.
Yeah. And because I'm endangering other people that have chosen not to be vaccinated. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds logical. That's about California. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, the one that I'm waiting for on it is right now it's, oh, if you don't have your kids with the full spectrum that the state mandates of vaccines, you can't go to school. I'm waiting for the, oh, well, you're harming your child. Here's CPS on your door.
Well, that's the interesting part is if it, okay. I'm not on one side or the other. You guys make up your own decision. Your parents, you had children, now be an adult, okay? But if you chose not to give your child the vaccine because it's got mercury, aluminum, a whole bunch of other stuff in it, yes, in small doses for those who are on the other side of the aisle, isn't that protecting your child, arguably? And if it is okay to give them, you know, those small doses of those very poisonous things, then why, if there is an allergic reaction or a very severe reaction to it, you can't sue the company or the state? Because it's mandated. You have to do it now. So why can't you sue for it if, you know, your child, you know, dies or something? You know?
Apparently the same, the most extreme is working where a medical exemption won't even work. I was, 4th of July, I was talking to a gal up at Lake Siskiyou who was just livid with this thing. Because her daughter, who was a just finished junior year of high school, was going to be a senior, has gone her entire life through school with this group of kids and is getting ready for her senior year. She's actually had her full spectrum of vaccines except one, because when they first gave it to her, she had a violent allergic reaction, and her doctor said, absolutely never again give her this. It could kill her.
And goodness.
And the school has told them, you will either get this vaccine or you cannot attend school. And she's even taken in the thing that said, look, the doctor said she can't have this vaccine. It could kill her. Well, then I'm sorry, she can't attend school here. So this girl is going to miss her senior year with kids that she has spent her whole life growing up with and going to school with because she's incapable of getting this vaccine.
Oh, goodness.
So do we have our audio back?
They're saying they don't have audio in the chat room yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to sneak off to our break here and see if we can figure out the technical difficulty on audio.
And, gotta love technology.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that the more technology we get, the easier our lives become.
Yeah.
our sound guy is shaking his head over here going, oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, well, let's go ahead and sneak off to our break and see if we can get that remedy.
Yeah, definitely. If you have any questions or comments throughout the show today, feel free to call in at 605-4567. Or you can hang out in our chat room, which hopefully we'll soon have audio here very soon, at kcnr1460.com.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Uncle Bob, where does Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. But Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Beat the heat in the coolest place in town, Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play with us this summer and enjoy air-conditioned indoor fun. Cool off with art at Make and Take Tuesdays. Play along in our passport raffle at Aquatic Adventures and avoid a brain freeze in Mindbender Mansion. Learn all about Turtle Bay's resident animals at Walk on the Wild Side. When temperatures soar, come chill with us. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
Are you coming to the tree? But damn.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. It appears that we still have some technical issues in the chat room with the streaming, but hopefully the IT guy will pick up his phone.
Yes, we're attempting
Brad, we're calling you.
We're attempting to remedy.
Again, if you want to call.
Apollo 13 is now approaching the dark side of the moon. There will be a blackout. And then
Houston will have some problems.
And then we will not share how it went for the astronauts, if the great big moon monster ate them or not.
Oh, my goodness. If you have any questions throughout the show today, definitely feel free to call in at 605-4567. Or do hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. As always, all of our shows are streaming online and through the chat room.
And stored for later review for podcasts.
So if you are in the chat room today and you can't hear us, it is archived. So maybe later today or tomorrow you'll be able to pick up the show.
There's some spectacular things coming up on the next hour with Patrick Jones. And ooh. Then Sovereign Minds.
Is it going to be feisty?
Going to have maybe a little. a couple things to discuss.
Okay.
And then Sovereign Minds will be having the Oregon 3%ers on, talking about the Protect the Protectors program that they're doing, where they're actually out there and protecting the recruiting stations. And one story that we're kind of tracking down, they ran into some problems with local police, I guess. I'm not sure exactly where this was. We're still tracking the story, but there was somewhere that these guys are doing this nationwide, and they ran into the issues with the local police. So the sheriff showed up and deputized them and said, there, they can be here.
You legally can do that.
Yeah.
You can.
So
The posse's returned.
Yeah, I think people are starting to get
it. Well, nothing will piss you off more than your soldiers getting shot down.
Defenseless. Yeah, defenselessly.
On your own soil. I mean, that's just not okay.
And then your government's response to that is to ignore those that are dead.
We'll give them bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's helpful. Yeah, unless he's inside the building, idiots.
And then double down on keeping them disarmed.
Yeah.
Although there are some governors with the sanity to say, well, at least our National Guardsmen are going to be armed in there.
Oh, good.
So I think that was actually 7 states now have.
Well, they're actually on. Well, when you're at the National Guard Armory and you go and talk to the recruiters there, they're actually on federal land.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they can get away with it. But I mean, my brother-in-law, he's a recruiter down south.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would feel a lot more comfortable if he could have a sidearm, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he would too.
Yeah. Well, I know he would. It's one. I mean, they made an oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But they can't protect themselves, actually, if they're on domestic soil. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a combat vet, and he can't protect himself here. Are you kidding me? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with it. I know Congress, some of the good congressmen are trying to put through bills right now so that they can carry and be able to defend themselves. There's all kinds of things that are going on.
Well, that's one, like, when you really, you know, my husband having been military, when you're on the base, unless you're an MP currently on duty, you don't carry a weapon. Yeah. Everybody is weaponless.
Yeah.
Which I never quite understood, because we trust these people in a combat zone, but we don't trust them on soil, on their own base. And if you're a military spouse and you're bringing any kind of weapon into your home on base, you have to register it, and sometimes you have to put it in the armory.
Really?
Really. There's some really interesting... Okay, that...
I could kind of see both sides of where on that's
one
going.
I do, but it's just like, okay, well, I'm living off post because I would rather protect myself than have to call the MPs. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I mean, at least on-duty personnel should be carrying.
Yeah, if you're quote-unquote licensed to carry, if you are combat status, you should always have a weapon on your person. That's kind of my view on it.
Okay, so. It looks like we are going to be down with our
stream.
With our stream.
Yeah.
Will this still be recording for the podcast? Okay, you will still be able to get us on podcast, but until we hear from the IT guy, we are unfortunately down in the chat room today.
Yep.
So.
Let me put that in there. I got to type. I'm only 120 words a minute, but...
All right. Well, then, in that case, we'll probably go ahead and get back on topic about talking about kind of the 90-day push that we're looking at for counties. We want our counties declared by November, which is kind of the end of the legislative session, and ready to go for legislation come February. So there's going to be a big push.
And for those who might not be aware, when we say legislation, what exactly do we mean by that?
All of the declarations that have come from counties so far have been legally processed into the state of Sacramento. They've been served to the state secretary. They've been served to
the parliamentarian, the parliamentarian, and, all them,
and the pro temp, and every, and it's kind of sitting there. And then we will have our guys draft legislation that says. These counties are petitioning to form a new state out of the state of California
due to lack of representation.
Due to lack of representation. There's probably going to be quite a thick document that goes into much more detail than that, but the essence of it is these counties are requesting to separate from the state of California and form their own state due to the lack of representation, at which time the legislature can respond. There will be a parallel bill that goes through in the Senate. And then, depending on what happens from there, is which road the process will take.
Now, what do you mean, what happens from there? Whether they take a vote and vote it down, or whether they take a vote and say yes, or whether they ignore it completely?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they'll be able to ignore it completely. They may try to kill it in committee. They may, but once it is a piece of legislation, they can't really ignore it anymore. It's there. They can table it. They can refuse to vote on it.
How long can they table it?
You know, I'm not sure about that. We would see any kind of indefinite tabling as a no, which essentially it would be, because they are continuing to create and perpetuate harm at that point.
Yeah.
Because they were failing to redress our demand for representation.
Because I know over in on the federal side of it, if for example, the House were to vote on a bill, which they did a lot of times this last election season, it would sit on the Senate desk. And when the Senate rolled over, all those bills went through the floor because they were no longer on the same thing. Could that happen in California?
Well, it could, which is why we want in on the very beginning of the legislative process in February.
Okay.
So if it comes to that, we can go, look, that was there for a year, and you guys refused to take up our redress of grievances.
Okay.
You refused.
Makes sense.
And that's when we move on to the court case process, which...
Well, are we going to have a writ of certiorari or whatever? Got him to roll his eyes. It's hard to do these days. We know each other too well.
The process will go on from there, and you have to move your way up through the court system and things like that. And most likely will end up as a Supreme Court challenge.
Yeah, probably.
Depending on how the legislation, how they deal with it, will kind of determine the process.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is when you look at the California court system, if we go to court and we win, well, the state can just file
an appeal
to the appellate court. And the appellate court can overturn it. And then you go back to regular court. And then maybe we lose, so we throw in an appeal, so we go to an appellate court. And you can go flip-flop all the way until you get to the state Supreme Court. And then they can go, I don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. We're bouncing.
And then they can give that to the federal.
And then it goes on their docket, and they decide when they will take it up.
Yeah.
So it could be a lengthy process if it goes that route. Yeah.
It could be. And we're hoping that there are some things that we can do to expedite that process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're not going to give up all your tricks. So, but that's where we're looking is February 1 in. So there's
my
a
birthday.
Race to to get these counties in, and we think Plumas and El Dorado are very very good, and they're far down the road with the supervisor process,
mm-hmm.
Getting that done. Sierra County is, I mean, they're right there on the signatures for 51% of the voters.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada County is we're waiting on some counts there to see how close they are. Trinity County has been agendized by the board for a vote.
Excellent.
And we'll be traveling up the beginning of next month to the fair, and we'll probably gather enough signatures there to put them over the top with the 51% of the voters for Trinity County.
And then for, I believe it's Lassen County's on the ballot for 16?
Well, November see, that's, 16? That's a lot of the people kind of misunderstand how those went.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what the Lassen Declaration says is that, yes, we are not represented.
Okay.
Here's our list of grievances and the harm that's been caused because mm-hmm. we're not represented. We wish to have redress of the lack of representation upon pain of separation.
Okay.
And we want to be able to have our seat at the table and have our discussion there. And if it becomes imminent that there's going to be a separation because of the legislature, at that time, Lassen County will do a popular vote of the people of whether they want to affirm departure.
Okay.
So basically, Lassen County said, yeah, we're all in. We appreciate this.
We just want to make sure that the people want it when it comes to time to decide yes. whether to be in or not.
But we definitely want to be sitting at the table negotiating, and then at that point we'll discuss the terms and everything like that and then figure out how we want to go.
Okay. So I know the next question is going to be, because I brought Lassen County up because I thought that was going to be one that was actually an example. Let's say Del Norte decides, you know, we actually might want to be at that table, but you've already put in legislation. Is it too late for them?
Well, no, they can retake. They can take that up again anytime they want.
And then they just get added to the legislation?
You mean after February?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Okay.
We, you know, that...
Just trying to get all the points out there, you know?
Because then at that time, we would actually have to have someone amend the legislation to include another county.
Ooh, and that can get nasty.
It could.
Okay.
You know, so it becomes much more difficult for a county to be added afterwards. Not going to say that it's impossible, but it is more difficult.
And but at the same time, when you look at the legislation, there is a good chance that California might say, if we get every county north of Sacramento minus Del Norte, they could just say, just take it.
They might.
They can. You don't. And that's the interesting part about the Article 4, Section 3 is it doesn't say that you have to vote for it. It doesn't say that you have to want it. It just says you're going to split the two states, and as long as the legislature says yes, and as long as Congress says yes, that's that. So mm-hmm. some of these counties might get tossed in, and they may not necessarily want to.
Well, under the,
is that possible?
Well, it could. I mean, the reverse of this is someday a state may use the process of go, we don't want these people anymore. We vote to make them form their own state,
mm-hmm.
and Congress approves it, and these people are sitting there going, oh.
Oh, okay. Snap.
we're in our own state now. We have Jimmy on the phone.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Good morning.
Actually, it's kind of funny because you were just talking about what I was going to ask. Like, if every county in Northern California voted for the state of Jefferson and say Shasta County did not,
mm-hmm.
us being right in the middle, how would that work? But you guys pretty much just answered my question.
Oh.
Awesome. Okay. We're on the same brainwave.
Well, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Bye. But yeah, I mean, that's something to think about is Caltrans just going to come to Shasta County if Shasta County is the only county that doesn't vote for it? Well, no, that's not very
that's
logical, is it? You know, will Shasta County have its own representatives in the California legislature because they're not actually adjacent to each other? Because that's part of, state law.
I'd like to ask a question. If these other counties go for the state of Jefferson mm-hmm. and Shasta County does stay in the middle and does, for whatever reason, stay part of California. They say, okay, we're going to drive 200 miles through the state of Jefferson to get to Shasta County to do our road work and all our paperwork and all of that stuff. Say that happened. And Shasta County was surrounded by the state of Jefferson. How long do you think it would take for Shasta County's population to empty out into surrounding counties?
Well, I mean, just think of it. If you live in Siskiyou County, do you do most of your shopping in Siskiyou County, or do you go to Oregon, man?
Yeah.
No sales tax.
Yeah.
Hello, guys.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell any cars ever again.
Yeah, and I would bet you that all of the California employees that would work in Shasta County
would live in Tehama or Trinity
or, you know.
Like the guys at High Desert who live in Nevada.
Yeah.
Hello, guys.
That's what would happen to Shasta County. It would be a county probably of nothing but California government workers.
No. You had government workers and homeless people because they wouldn't want to be in Jefferson, hopefully.
Well, no. They'd have to get a job in Jefferson.
I would hope they'd have to get a job.
Because there would be jobs available.
But if they, you know, the chronic homeless who kind of just want to be, it's a small population.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can live in Shasta County then.
Yeah. They'll even build them like a little village.
A little daycare center.
They will. Yeah.
Are they still building that? Is that?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, they're actually in the process of spending yours and my money to figure out if they should and how to do it.
So. I'm so glad they're spending my money because I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. You know, like buy food or anything like that.
Price of, oh my gosh, gas went up another 25 cents in the last, like, week and a half.
That's racist. You can't say that.
So, are we going to talk about racial disparity today?
Well, yeah, and I can explain to you why your gas comment's racist, too. But we better go to a break first.
Okay, I will go, what's that phrase? Flagellate myself in a closet or whatever it is?
Beat myself with a belt.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, if you want to call in, you can call in at 605-4567. Again, we are not live listening in the chat room today. We're having some technical issues, but we are hopping around in there and chit-chatting at kcnr1460.com. So if you are trying to be in the chat room right now, this is archived, and you can listen to it later today or tomorrow or pretty much forever, actually.
We're just going to throw all the breakers in the building and turn it back on, see what that does.
I think Carl might get mad at that one.
Carl might.
Those Jeffersonians! All right, we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Peaky Blinders, Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, it is. Which is a good show,
when
too.
When does the third season come up?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
I think it's spring.
Yeah.
Is it spring? I think it is.
Needs to be soon.
Yeah.
So we were sitting here and talking about
HBO.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
So.
But before that, we were talking about racial disparity.
Yeah, and gas prices.
And
things like that. You do know that our legislators in their wisdom, the
infinite wisdom, of course.
Infinite. It is. It's brilliant. It is so astounding that it defies logic.
All right.
Have all of the green initiatives, things that are crippling our economy and hurting our economy, and especially here in Jefferson, they voted to double down on it. They want to take it another 50% of where we're at now.
Wouldn't that be like 100% green at this point?
Well, actually, if you take 100% and then you take 50% and then you take 50% of that 50%, it's more like 75%.
Did you just do Common Core math?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Because I didn't follow that at all.
I had to start doing Common Core math when Doug LaMalfa told me that 51 is actually easier than 24 to get a no vote on something. So I had to start figuring out how he figured that.
I think he was talking about the veto, to overturn the veto.
Yes, but it doesn't change the veto.
Because you still have to get two-thirds, which is actually 66.
Yes, TPA doesn't do anything to reduce the number of, to make a veto a majority vote.
Okay, now I'm really confused. Why are we talking about math? I don't like math.
Because I did math. So. But yeah, the standards of California are coming down to, you know, they're going to double down on the standards.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Brown is actually calling in the Catholic Church to be the lead organization on this.
Why the Catholic Church?
Because Jerry's a Jesuit. You didn't know that?
Oh, that makes sense. And I can see that, actually.
He wants to work with the Pope, who the Pope believes the greatest threat to mankind is Wormy Changey.
Not Satan?
No, apparently Wormy Changey is worse.
Do they still sell indulgences?
I don't know. They maybe.
Because they should start selling them for climate change.
I don't know. I'm shaky on my Catholicism, especially especially as an American. I think most Americans are kind of shaky on what Catholicism looks like in the rest of the world. But yeah, Jerry Brown wants to essentially coordinate with the Catholic Church and increase our green standards here.
Hmm.
Until I legitimately think maybe we're living in teepees and drying strips of deer venison on what used to be a highway.
I see that.
So he's calling for zero emissions vehicles, things like that. And people have seen gas prices in California skyrocketing, and they're going, what is going on? Why is this happening?
Crude oil is not going up.
No, it's not. It's carbon credits.
You know? Oh, that 83 cents that was supposed to kind of kick in around January, and they've slowly been...
Well, as the more and more gasoline is made, more and more carbon credits have to be purchased, but there's less and less carbon credits, so the value of a carbon credit becomes more. The price of the carbon credit goes up, so the company has to pay more, and now they're passing that price on to you and I, the consumer. You know, this is something that we warned everybody about, and everybody, as usual, went, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, we do, and that's why your gas prices are going through the roof. You know, actually, I was thinking the other day that I wish that our enemies would actually be right about something every once in a while, so I didn't feel like such an idiot for constantly arguing with somebody who's never right.
But you have children at home.
They are right more often than the people that we argue with.
That's really sad.
It is. My 5-year-old gets it better than
he's five
some people.
Now?
Yeah, just had his birthday.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I can't believe he's 5. I'm one of those 3.
Yeah. It's fun.
Jeez, yeah.
Spider-Man Legos and train tracks, man.
I like it.
Well, Dad likes it because he's getting to the age where Dad can play with the toys too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, so. You don't like the little balls with the music and...
No, not really my thing.
No, same lullaby 800 times a day.
No, train tracks and, you know, Spider-Man, yeah. Because now I have a reason to buy the Hulk so I can smash up the train tracks.
So now you can make a miniature version of the high-speed rail in your living room.
And yeah.
Blow it up with the Hulk.
Yeah. Pretty much. So we're just kind of wandering today. We did have
we're missing half our audio.
Well, we are, and we did really have kind of some topics we wanted to get into, but they're important enough. We want to save it for when the audio's working and we can get it out there for people, because it is important for people to understand. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to kind of keep winging it, I guess, and talking about whatever in California.
They don't need to know that we wing it.
Oh, sorry.
Because we sound so prepared.
We do?
Yeah.
I didn't think we were that good.
Oh, are we that good? We're getting a good? Thumbs up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We got two thumbs up. Yeah. Oh, man. What's in your coffee?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, state of California, we could sit here and beat the drum about their laws and their legislation and their stuff all day long and the things that they're doing. And
I think with California, the thing that surprises me the most is like individuals that I've talked to in recent weeks and months, especially about things like the vaccine bill, other things like that, where they're really overstepping constitutional boundaries, personal boundaries, religious boundaries.
Every boundary that's ever been set.
Yeah, every boundary known to man. And it doesn't matter if you're conservative, Tea Party, Libertarian, Democrat, flaming liberal. This crosses the gambit. Everybody's mad. I haven't met one person yet that I've talked to, especially about the vaccine bill, where they go, yeah, I think that's great that we're going to force everybody to do it.
GlaxoSmithKline. They're real happy about it.
Well, I'm sure they are. But everybody else, they kind of go, yeah, if somebody's allergic to it, they shouldn't have to do it. Or if their kids don't go to school, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, if the average person can be logical about this, why can't our legislatures?
Because they're legislators.
But that's the thing I don't get. It's not their job. When did we stop? I mean, they take an oath.
Mm-hmm. Look at it this way. Our politicians are like the motor oil in the engine of America. Okay?
All right.
No matter what you do with a combustion engine, you're going to have some kind of lubricant to continue the engine parts moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like it or not, no matter what you do, no matter what way you try to figure your way out of not needing that lubricant, because the lubricant is expensive and it's a pain and it breaks down and it doesn't work all the time,
mm-hmm.
you have to have it. Okay? And it needs to, that oil needs to be changed regularly. No matter what you do, no matter how much you do or anything. And like oil and oil changes, you have to pay to dispose of it when you're done with it.
Did that analogy come off the fly?
Yes, that was on the fly. That just
see, kinda, and that's why, you know, people say, hey, you guys don't wing it. Well, he just winged it, and that was awesome.
Well, it is. I mean,
sometimes I just want to beat you with your own belt.
And we, the people, should be the oil filter. And we're not doing a very good job of that. Or maybe you could even say the Supreme Court is the oil filter, and the oil filter needs to be changed, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, really? That woman's still alive?
Is she?
Well, technically.
She's got to be like 90.
I sit there and I watch her on the Supreme Court and I kind of think maybe it's just a skin puppet. I'm not sure. I just, wow. You know, and that lady's thinking was archaic to begin with back in 1776 when they put her on the Supreme Court.
No, it would have been more like 1814 with Marshall. Come on. 1776, yeah. Those guys still had brains.
That's true.
You got to give it 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Have you ever gone back and looked at some of the things that lady has had to say through her life?
No, it would.
My personal favorite.
It would depress me too much, I think.
My personal favorite is when we passed Roe v. Wade. I thought it was understood that abortion was necessary to stop certain parts of our population from breeding. Yeah,
well,
think about that for a
second. If you look at the statistics today, especially with everything that's going on with Planned Parenthood, I'm sure most of you have heard about that. In New York City, there are 26,000 black children that were born last year. 29,000 were aborted last year.
Yeah, that's not
genocide. You want to talk about population control?
Oh, don't even get me started on Mary Sanger and some of the things she had to say.
Oh,
that lady was a racist.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, I think a
real racist.
You know, there's a reason why I think that Democrats really are pushing abortion and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to keep minorities as complete minorities subjugate them. And are we going to talk about racial disparity? Because we're kind of going down that line now.
Well, we can, I suppose, but we better get off.
Let's go to a break so we can find a happier topic. Because I will go forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's giving me the eyes. Okay, so if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 605-4567. What have you heard this week about Jefferson? How about that? What have you heard this week about Jefferson? What do you want to talk about? What are something that we haven't talked about in a while that you would like us to kind of revisit or you have questions about? Now we toss you the potato, guys. You got to toss it back.
Mm-hmm. If they can hear the potato.
If you can hear. I know a lot of people are usually listening in the chat room, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Who listens within the 30-mile radius of this station? All right, so call in 605-4567, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Elements Lounge inside Wind Rivers Resort and Casino August 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. Hi, this is Linda Bot. Join me for Romance on the River as I sing my favorite songs from the American Songbook, jazz standards with great musicians like Pat Karch on piano, Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my special guest Paul Sen on trumpet. Call for reservations at 243-3377. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds August 6th.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
My granddaddy fought in World War II, but my daddy went to Vietnam. I ain't scared to grab my gun and fight for my homeland. If you don't love the American flag, well, you can't kiss my country.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Yep.
Are we allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah, we are.
Really?
Yeah, you can get away with some things depending on what context it's used in. And okay. Actually, looking at it, you're allowed so many violations a month.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, I think I probably use most of them up.
No, we've only dead dropped you once.
That's true. And all this time I've...
Well, we've done it 3 times in total. I am keeping track because I find it very humorous.
Yeah. Have I been dead dropped 3 times?
3 times.
No.
Yeah.
In 2 years, that's not bad.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, that's not bad. That's not
considering if you've ever had a conversation with me, you know, that's good for me.
Actually, that is kind of amazing. You do sound so much more sophisticated on the radio.
Well, you know, my brother always gives me a hard time about it. He goes, man, you do it on purpose. I know you do. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you go and talk to people and they're like, oh, yay, look at this redneck. This is going to be fun. And he goes, and then you open your mouth. And it's like, yeah, camouflage, buddy.
Well, we both kind of have that. Hey, Senator Gaines. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Exactly. Never see it coming.
And kathwap.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it was like last Monday when LaMalfa was at the tea party. And no, I got to say this because it was one of the best lines I've heard you say in 2 years. I was straight up impressed. So I'm going to say it on the radio so everybody knows how impressed I was with you. Do you know what I'm going to talk about?
I don't even remember what I said.
About the TPA and about the giving away of American sovereignty. And he argued with you that it was not giving away American sovereignty, and you got on the core issues of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, yeah, you know, we can't label things as American-made because a court decided it. And you badgered him until you said it was an international court that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung his head and said, yes.
Yeah. Well, it was.
But I was so proud of you in that moment. I just want you to know that.
If we have to remove an American law because an international court said so,
mm-hmm.
that is a surrendering of American sovereignty.
Yeah. But it was the way that you did it that was just...
I don't even remember what I said.
It was well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Well, good. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just ask questions. Well,
but sometimes you do it so connivingly, intelligently, that they just kind of walk right into it, and then they realize that they are now surrounded by wolves. Huh?
Yeah.
Get it?
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, language and verbal jousting is an art.
And a lost form at that.
And worst of worst, I was trained by two clam diggers that were very good at it.
Yeah, nowadays people just kind of go, well, you're racist, or you're this, or you're that, or you're stupid, or you're just a Republican or a Tea Party. It's like, all right, let's just throw a label on it, and as long as it doesn't say it's GMO'd.
Well, I think one of the things that's really important that we need to kind of get into
mm-hmm.
is stop being so afraid to say anything anymore. Yeah. Say it. Oh, but I might offend
someone.
Think
about it before you say it, but, you know, say it.
Offend someone, you know? Call it what you want to call it. You know, one of the things that I was doing the other day on some downtime is I was watching old George Carlin clips.
Okay.
You ever watch George Carlin?
No, but I've heard his name.
The man is disgustingly foul and vulgar, but his grasp of the English language is probably the best since Mark Twain.
Wow.
I mean, he understands the English language in and out, and he understood very well, say it. Don't ever allow anybody to limit your vocabulary or what you want to say or, you know, pretty things up with some kind of nonsense.
No bloviation, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stick to it and call it what it is. You know, like he was talking about the progression of calling, what they called the shell shock in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear, precise, to the point, the guy's been blasted so bad he's in shock. Shell shock.
Yeah.
Has now turned into post-traumatic stress syndrome because that sounds so much, you know.
Clinical.
Yeah. And just the things that they do like that. And with political correctness, you allow your language, your meaning to be watered down so that you cannot directly impact on an emotional level. Because that's what you use words for. You use words and certain kind of words and tones to create an emotional impact to get your point across.
Mm-hmm.
And when you allow that to be just turned into bland white nothing, it's oatmeal. And
yeah.
Nobody's going to pay attention. We have Dick on the phone.
Good morning, Dick. How are you today?
I'm fine. So, you know, I want to comment on the editorial in today's paper about rudeness of Tea Party people. You know what?
Oh, okay.
The meeting is open to the public, and not everybody in there even want to be associated with the Tea Party. They come in there and speak about different things.
Mm-hmm.
The most rude people were the oath keepers that's sitting up in front right there. And they were pretty vocal, volunteers for our Tea Party patrons. They just came in because the Mafia was there. And but yet anybody who speaks in at a Tea Party meeting, they assume that they're Tea Party members, and they're not necessarily are, you know, because anybody mm-hmm. is welcome to show up there and speak on any topic as long as you're polite. Well, that one girl kept ragging on him about if he's going to go and take up arms and if something happens, you know, and
yeah.
he can't just drop everything and put on his helmet and come join them. But she was insisted on getting a reply out of him. But I just want to comment that not everybody that speaks in that meeting belongs or volunteers for the Ring Party Patriots. They're just the public can come and speak on any topic.
Who wrote the editorial this morning? I haven't seen it.
Well, I don't know who writes it. It just they never put a name on it.
Is it
a letter to the editor or was it?
No, it's the editorial.
The actual editorial for the paper. Okay. The big long article that usually says
absolutely.
And
your name is
nothing.
Mentioned in it also.
It's probably Maylene Hazel.
Well, your mention about kind of being rude to LaMoffa.
Oh. Well.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep.
But I just want to comment that not everybody gets up and speaks are volunteers at Reading Tea Party Patriots. It can be anybody who comes in a meeting. Everybody's invited.
And that's an excellent point, too, is all of these forums, when people talk about the Reading Tea Partiers, a lot of times some of the most vicious attacks come from people I've never even seen before in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, I guess, yeah, it happened there, but if they're standing outside of LaMalfa's office, would it be the homeless attacks LaMalfa verbally?
Yeah.
Well, no. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, every time we have a meeting, I used to belong to the Reading Breakfast Lions Club. Mm-hmm. A couple of years, I got tired of it. I quit. But I always send my invitation. Every once in a while, one or two of them will show up, but very seldom do they show up. And I've talked to some of them about it. And they've never been to a Tea Party meeting, but they have really strong opinions about it. I had, where do the opinions come from if you never even attend, don't even know what we're about, but they all have... They derive their opinions from someplace, somebody who makes an opinion about the Tea Party, mm-hmm. and so they take that opinion as their own, although they've never been to a meeting, and it's open to the public, and they need to come in and see what it's about and form their own opinions.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, Dick, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, good luck, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, those are definitely excellent points. People,
I would like to point one thing out too that I find interesting, you know, and to mention the kind of the change of tone with Doug LaMalfa and some of the things that are going on. Do you think now that Record Searchlight is defending Doug LaMalfa that suddenly the Record Searchlight has seen the way and is defending the good guy, or maybe there's something wrong with Doug LaMalfa and now Record Searchlight's defending him? Just food for thought.
I don't know.
So, just gonna throw that out there and let you stew on it. So,
yeah, that's the thing that really bothers me a lot about actually the Record Searchlight is a lot of people, they read it and they go, oh, it's a newspaper, it's fact. Oh, yeah. Lord Almighty, do you watch Jon Stewart and think that everything in there is fact? I mean, the guy's hilarious, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot more to the
that's
story.
A lot of people get their news from sources like
Colbert and
it's comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who was the guy who said, and now for the rest of the story? Who was that?
Oh, that was, I totally just brain farted. I know exactly, Ed Rooney.
Ed Rooney? Okay.
I think it was Ed Rooney. Or no, it wasn't. No.
I don't know. It was before my time. I just remember
always
hearing
that. The guy that did And God Made a Farmer.
Paul Harvey. Thank you, Tatanka.
Yes. it was like right there on the tip of my brain, and I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, when you watch things like that, even when you read the records, like any newspaper in America, any Fox station, any CNN, MSNBC, all of anything with news, ask yourself. And now, the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And, you know, they can call it whatever they want to call it. You know, the crowd Monday was very animated with Mr. LaMalfa.
Yes, they were.
Did they mention that there was reasons that the crowd was very animated?
Yes.
And, I'm sorry, the representative himself on a couple of occasions grew... kind
animated
of rude
himself.
And animated himself. At one point, he threatened to turn off his mic and walk away because somebody was calling him to task about the behavior of his staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So.
But there's more about that. You wrote an article on the Lantern.
It is. So. You know, and I think the Shasta Lantern is probably the only news source in the North State that'll tell you, don't trust us, go find out for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear the Record Searchlight say that.
Oh, no, of course
just
not.
Drink this Kool-Aid and read this.
Yeah.
Drink the Kool-Aid and read this. I'll flat tell you, just because we print something, I'm not telling you to trust me. I'm telling you use what I print as a starting point to go find out for yourself.
And the same thing goes for this radio show.
That's true.
Don't, for anything we say.
Don't believe anything. Become cynical.
And take that cynicism with you all week long, because we'll be back next week.
Yes. And we'll be diving into what we were going to dive into this week. Hopefully we'll have our audio back and we can talk about how we're kind of getting mission critical here.
Yes. So this is the Jefferson State of Mind, and it is time to make it yours, Jeffersonian.